God is so awesome, huh? He's a great God. Well, before getting started, I'm just going to pray. Thank you, Father, for your presence in this place tonight. And I just want to thank you for your guidance and your wisdom and your grace to deliver your message tonight. Open the ears of our understanding so that we can hear your voice, Father. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name I pray, amen. I want to, before going in deeper, I want to read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 through 17. I'm going to read it from the message, so you can just write it down, because I know not everyone has the message here. It says, it's 2 Timothy 3, 15 through 17. There's nothing like the written word of God for showing you the way to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Every part of the scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way. Through the word, we are put together and shape up for the task God has for us. And tonight I want to go through some great examples of faith that we can find in the Bible. As I was reading, it says that the word of God shows us the way through the way to salvation through faith. And so we need faith. We need examples of faith. And so let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to start on verse 4. And it says, it was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man, and God showed his approval of his gifts. Although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by his example of faith. You know, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice. And it says that this was the evidence that he was a righteous man. You know, some say that Cain didn't bring a more excellent sacrifice because he wasn't able, but that's just an excuse, I think. Just to get, some humor there. Anyways, you know, as we can see, let's go to the story of, that story, it's in Genesis 4. But let's keep our finger there in Hebrews because we're going to be going back and forth. But let's go deeper to see the story in Genesis chapter 4, verse 3. It says, when it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best of the firstborn lambs from his flock. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain's and his gift. This made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. And God asked him, well, it says, why are you so angry? The Lord asked Cain, why do you look so dejected? You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you, but you must subdue it and be its master. And the only difference that I notice here is it's they brought a gift to God, right? And the only difference is that Cain brought a gift, but Abel brought the first, it says. He brought the best of the firstborns. So he was paying attention to what he was bringing to God. And, you know, we may be bringing an offering to God, but it may not be our best. It may, perhaps we're giving him leftovers, you know, or leftover time, or leftovers money, or in our service, just like, you know, like, oh, okay, this is what I have left, and I'm just going to bring this to God. I mean, we cannot deceive God. He sees our heart. He sees our intentions. It may be that we're doing it with the wrong motives, or it could be that we're doing it in a religious way, like the Pharisees. You know, God wants our best, and the only way we can bring our best is by faith. You know, we can follow the example of Abel, and we can be able to do it with faith. You know, bring our best, because it says that that was the evidence of righteousness. You know, God's way of doing things. Okay, let's keep on reading on verse 5 of Hebrews. Verse 5. It says, it was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. For before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. This is the way I want to live, this earth. That's my greatest desire, if you wanted to know, to live like that. It says, and it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. You know, we don't know a lot about Enoch. We can see where he's mentioned in Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5, verse 23. It says that Enoch lived 365 years, walking in close fellowship with God. Then one day he disappeared because God took him. So we don't know a lot about Enoch, but we just know that by faith he had a testimony, and it was that he pleased God. And I mean, I would love for people to know me by that, like, oh no, Denise, she pleases God, like, all the time. I want that, you know, by faith, please God in all that we do, in all that I do. You know, he was a man of faith, and he sincerely and diligently seek God. In all that he did, he was just in close fellowship with God all the time. And that's a great example we can learn from. Another one is Noah in verse 7. It says, it was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. You know, it says that Noah was moved with godly fear, and he became a heir of the righteousness. He obeyed and he followed God. You know, whatever he said, but it had never happened before what God told him. Like, it was crazy. You know, it had never rained in the earth. And God told him, you know, this is going to happen and you need to do this. And it says, like, exactly. Well, I'm sorry, I'm going ahead myself. Let's go to Genesis to see this a little bit of the story. We all know the story of Noah. But let's go to Genesis 6, chapter 6. Sorry, I haven't used my Bible in a while, and getting used to back again. Genesis chapter 6, and I want to start reading verse 9. It says, this is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless person living on earth at that time. I mean, when I read that, I was like, wow, he was the only blameless person living on earth at that time. And he walked in close fellowship with God. And if you notice, like, these three people have the same characteristics. You know, they were righteous men. They walk in close fellowship with God, and everything they did, it was done by faith. Verse 22 of chapter 6. You know, God gave him instructions about what was going to happen and what he needed to do. And verse 22, it says, so Noah did everything exactly as God had commanded him. And then on chapter 7, verse 5, it says again the same. So Noah did everything as the Lord commanded him. I mean, how many times God tells things to do and we do it like halfway or kind of like that, or, you know, we add our own spice there or our own ideas. But it says here that Noah did exactly, and he became a heir of righteousness. And something that called for my attention was that it mentions that he was moved by godly fear. And Proverbs 7:1 says that the fear of the Lord, or the respect of the Lord, is the beginning of wisdom. So we can assume then that Noah was a very wise man. And I want to dig a little bit more deep into that, into wisdom. And I'm going to read, I was reading on Monday, Proverbs 8, my proverb of the day. And as I had mentioned it before, I recommend it to everyone to read a proverb a day. There's 31, and most months, there's 31 days in the month, so you can read. Whenever it's 30, you can just read 2 on the last day. But they are so awesome. And if you want to be wise, just that's where you're going to learn wisdom. And, well, I'm going to read it. It's Proverbs chapter 8. I'm going to read it from the Message. And it's just some parts of the chapter. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but you can go there later and read it. It's really, really good. And I know, Sabrina, so you work on it. Eric has, every time he mentions this proverb, he's like, this would be a great drama to see. So that's something you can work on later. So it says, do you hear Lady Wisdom calling? Can you hear Madam Insight raising her voice? She's taking her stand at First and Main, at the busiest intersection, right in the city square where the traffic is thickest. She shouts, you, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to all of you. Listen, learn good sense. Don't miss a word of this. I'm telling you how to live well. I'm telling you how to live at your best. You will only hear true and right words from my mouth. Not one syllable will be twisted or skewed. You'll recognize this as true. You with open minds, truth-ready minds, will see it at once. I want to be a truth-ready mind that will see it at once, like immediately. There's wisdom and catch it. You know, I wanted to stop where it says, you know, that at the busiest and at thickest, it talks. And sometimes, you know, we are so busy and we get distracted, but it says that our busyness is calling us. Wisdom is calling us. It's telling us, hey, here, you, listen, I'm talking to you. So we cannot say like, oh, I'm busy, or, oh, I didn't realize because I just had a lot of things in my mind. That's not true. It says here that at our busiest, it is calling us. It is talking to us. And that has happened to me. Like, for example, sometimes, you know, I don't have a lot of time, but I have like just a few minutes and I'm on Facebook just like, you know, they're wasting my time, my precious time. And then Lady Wisdom tells me, hey, why don't you grab a book and get some wisdom there instead of me wasting your time? And I'm like, yeah, it may not be a lot of time, you know, it may be 15 minutes, but it's better if I get a good book or the Bible, way better, just to read a little bit instead of looking at wasting my time, you know? And so it is there, Lady Wisdom. Our busiest, she's calling us and she's telling us, hey, I know how you can live well. I'm telling you how to live at your best. So I'm going to just repeat that. You will recognize this as true. You with open minds, Truth ready minds will see it at once. I am Lady Wisdom, and I live next to Sanity. Knowledge and discretion live just down the street. So if we want knowledge, discretion, sanity, we need to stick out with Lady Wisdom. And, you know, the fear of the Lord, that's wisdom. That's the beginning of wisdom, respecting God, having a close relationship with God. That will bring the fear of the Lord, that respect of the Lord. You know, the more you spend time with someone, the more you respect that person. Good counsel and common sense are my characteristics. Oh, sorry, I jumped one phrase. It says, the fear of God means hating evil, whose ways I hate with a passion, pride and arrogance and crooked talk. Good counsel and common sense are my characteristics. I am both inside and the virtue to live it out. I love those who love me. Those who look for me will find me. So if we look for wisdom, we're gonna find it. Wealth and glory accompany me. Also substantial honor and a good name. I mean, wisdom just, it's full of everything. All good things. My benefits are worth more than a big salary, even a very big salary. You can find me on righteous road. That's where I walk. So in God's way of doing things, that's where we can find wisdom. At the intersection of Justice Avenue, handing out life to those who love me, filling their arms with life, armloads of life. So my dear friends, listen carefully. Those who embrace these my ways are most blessed. Mark a life of discipline and live wisely. Don't squander your precious life. Bless the man, bless the woman who listens to me. Awake and ready for me each morning. Alert and responsive as I start my day's work. I want to be awake and ready for wisdom each morning, alert and responsive. When you find me, you find life, real life, to say nothing of God's good pleasure. But if you wrong me, you damage your very soul. When you reject me, you are flirting with death. And when I read that last part, when it says, when you reject me, you are flirting with death, many times, you know, we think that we know how to do stuff. Oh, I have experience. Oh, I know how this works. Oh, I know, you know, we think we are wise and we don't consult God. We don't ask God, or we just think, oh, I'm just going to do it like this. And when we reject his wisdom, we are flirting with that. You know, like something very simple, like if the doctor tells you, you know, something, and you have to follow it for your own good because the doctor is telling you, and you are like, ah, well, yeah, but, you know, or this tastes good or whatever, you know, then the consequences come. When we use our own wisdom, we need to be obedient, we need to be prudent, we need to use wisdom. You know, Proverbs 3:5-7, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. So Noah was a very wise man and righteous, and he just kept on close fellowship with God. And I want to follow that example by faith. And you know what? James 1:5, it says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. So it's that easy. And read Proverbs also. No excuses, that's right. Okay, so let's keep on reading on Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. It says, it was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and to go to another land that God will... Go to another land that God will give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going, And even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith, for he was like a foreigner living in tents. And so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. But that really impresses me how Abraham obeyed God by faith. You know, God told him, pack all your stuff and go. And I mean, obviously, we will all ask, like, where do I go? I mean, at least tell me to the left or to the right, you know? And God didn't tell him, and he obeyed. He didn't was like, God, but I mean, tell me something, or tell me, just give me a clue or where. No, he immediately obeyed without questioning. He had full trust and confidence in God, and basically blindfolded, he just obeyed. And something amazing here is like he had his eyes like in higher grounds. You know, he didn't care where God was sending him. It didn't matter if there was a good land or not, if it looked good or not. He was like, you know what, it doesn't matter where he's going to send me, because wherever he sent me, I know he's going to be there with me. And besides, it says there that he had his tents, that he was looking forward to the city with eternal foundations. So it's like, wherever God sent me, it's going to be anyways for a little while. I'm looking for my home in heaven. That's what I'm looking forward to. He didn't have his eyes in this land. So wherever he sent him, it was the same to him. And that's how we need to be, you know, like with our eyes in higher grounds, awaiting for when we go to that land with eternal foundations. Then there's Sarah in verse 11. It says that it was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child. Though she was barren and was too old, she believed that God will keep his promise. And so a whole nation came from this one man who was as good as dead. A nation with so many people that like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, there is no way to count them. You know, God gave them a promise. And something that I like that it mentions here, Sarah. You know, it's not that she was the wife of a man of faith. She had her own faith. And it says that by the faith that Sarah herself also received strength for the impossible, because she judged him faithful who had promised. You know, I know in the story when God told them that they were going to have a kid, they laugh. They both laugh because, I mean, of course, just to think about everything that needed to happen, for her, it was funny. You know, it's like, but God wasn't joking. God was serious, and he brought reaffirmation asking, is anything too hard for me? You know, that's what God asked Sarah. He didn't ask, is there anything impossible? He said, is there anything hard? There's no question if it's possible or not, and it's not even hard for me. And he said that in Genesis 18:14. We're not going to go there, but that's where God tells her that. And there's a lot of examples here, and we can't go through all of them. But, let's just keep on reading verse 13 through 15. It says, all these people died still believing that God had what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. They had their eyes in that land of eternal foundation. You know, God had given them the promised land, and they didn't see it. They didn't get to see it, but, I mean, it says that they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth. Obviously, people who say such things are looking forward to a country they can call their own. If they had longed for the country they came from, they could have gone back. But they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. This is why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. That's awesome. I mean, God wasn't ashamed to be called their God. Because they just knew. And this amazes me because, I mean, they didn't have the Holy Spirit. They didn't see all that we have done, you know, Jesus resurrected. But they knew that they were here just for a little while. They knew that their home was in heaven and that they were going to be someday just worshiping God. They understood that they were foreigners in this earth. And, well, let's go down to verse 32. It says, how much more do I need to say? It will take too long to recount the stories of the fate of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. I mean, they even receive stuff in this earth. It's not like, oh, okay, so God has promised stuff and we're not going to receive it, so we just need to wait until we go to heaven. No. I mean, they receive the promises that God had given them for this time, the time being in this earth. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put a whole armies to fight. But others who tortured, refusing to turn from God, from their God, in order to be set free. I'm sorry, I'm just going to read that because to me it didn't make sense. But others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Some were jeered at, and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prisons. Some died by stoning. Some were sawed, thank you, in half. And others were killed with the sword. I mean, and we think we are suffering, huh? We think we are suffering in this earth. These lives really amaze me. I mean, all that they went through for God, and they didn't see the promised land that they were so excited about and fighting for, and, you know, they didn't give up. They were mistreated and destitute, oppressed. Some went about wearing skin of sheep and goats. It says they were too good for this world. That I just love that. I mean, are we too good for this world, or are we just being part of it and mixing it? Or people can see a difference, you know, like that person is just too good to be in this world. And I think that's what happened to Enoch. God was like, you know what? He's too good to be in that world. I'm just going to bring him back. I need to keep on reading. All these people, verse 39, all these people earn a good reputation because of their faith. So it doesn't matter if you have good studies, if you have good grades, if you have a good job. You know, that reputation is good for this time. But when we go to heaven, it won't matter. They had a good reputation because of their faith. Yet none of them received all that God had promised. For God had something better in mind for us, so that they will not reach perfection without us. So what that means is that they're waiting for us. And I want to just, let's just keep on reading in chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. You know, they are all up there watching us. They are watching us. They went through all that. And, you know, it's time for us. It says that God had something better in mind for us so that they will not reach perfection without us, which means they haven't reached perfection. They're waiting for us. And they're just there cheering us up. Come on. Come on, you can do it. By faith, you can do it. So let us get rid of everything that distracts us. Let's just get rid of everything that is slowing us down so we can fulfill the call that God has given us, because it's much more than what we just see and what we are involved in this world. You know, let's keep our eyes focused in Jesus. That's what it says after that, verse 2. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding this shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. You know, there's times that we just want to get tired or give up, but we cannot allow that. Let's just focus on Jesus and keep on, you know, endurance, 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 endurance. Verse 4, after all, you have not yet given your lives in your struggle against sin. So I know I started weird by verse 4. Let's go up to verse 3 in chapter 11. Now it's our turn. It says, by faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. So nothing was here. God commanded it by his word. We understand that he spoke and it was done. And that same nature is inside of us. So we have heard all this, like by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. And we all know what is faith, but let's just read it one more time. What is faith? Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. So it means that it's already done. And that's how we just stand on it. You know, like, I mean, faith is so simple, yet so complex. We make it complex. You know, how many of you checked your chair before you sat today? You just had the faith that it was going to work. You had the faith that it wasn't going to, that you were going to fall. You know, we get in airplanes and we don't check if everything is working. You know, we just trust. Well, God wants us to have the same trust on him and just go and do what he has called us to do and fulfill, you know, everything that we do is or should be done by faith. It says, show me your faith by your works. So in everything that when we come before people, they should just see our faith in everything that we do. We should be doing impossible things by faith. People should be seeing like amazing things because of the faith that God has given us. And well, that's what James chapter 2 talks about. And I'm going to read it from the message. James chapter 2, verse 14 to 26. In the message, it says, dear friends, do you think you'll get anywhere in this if you learn all the right words but never do anything? Does merely talking about faith indicate that a person really has it? Isn't it obvious that God talk without God acts is outrageous nonsense? I can already hear one of you agreeing by saying, sounds good, you take care of the faith department and I'll take care of the works department. Not so fast, you can no more show me your works apart from your faith than I can show you my faith apart from my works. Faith and works and faith fit together hand in glove. Do I hear you professing to believe in the one and only God, but then observe you complacently sitting back as if you had done something wonderful? That's just great. Demons do that. But what good does it do them? Use your heads. Do you suppose for a minute that you can cut faith and works in two and end up with a corpse on your hands? So we don't want that faith, right? We know that if we don't use our faith, it's gonna die. We have all been given a measurement of faith. A measure. We have all been given a measure of faith. All of us. We all have it. So we need to use it. And it needs to be demonstrated by our works. So we know that if we use it, it will grow. If you use something, it will grow. If you don't use it, it dies, right? Faith comes by hearing the word of God. And it's very important to read the word of God every day and meditate in it day and night. We cannot afford to live a Christian life without having the word of God. I mean, don't you ever dare to call yourself, and I don't know why I'm saying this, but don't you dare to call yourself a Christian if you are not feeding your life in the word of God. You know, I recently heard of Christian people that, well, I'm not going to speak more than I shouldn't, but Christian people that don't think it's necessary to read their Bibles every day. They just like a magazine, just read an article here and there. I was like, the Word of God is our substance, thank you. It's nutrition. What did you say? That's what a word I wanted to say, thank you. I mean, we cannot go without it. I mean, did you eat today? We all ate today, right? Probably more times than we should. And why? What makes us think that our spirit doesn't need to be fed, you know, morning? You know, they say we should eat 5 small meals a day, our bodies. How much more our spirit needs living in this cochino world, you know? We need our breakfast. Big and strong and, you know, hearty meal of the day. And then our little snack, meditate on it day and night. That's how our faith is gonna grow. You know, if you have a hard time believing for your situation or for going and just conquer the world, then listen to the word of God and listen to it and read it and put it everywhere and just believe it and believe it and believe it. God, the one who made the promise, is faithful to fulfill it. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. You know, as I was reading at the beginning, we were reading at the beginning in 2 Timothy. It says that the word of God, the Bible, is the word of God, and it's God-breathed, and it's useful in one way or another. And it shows us the truth, exposes our rebellion, corrects our mistakes. It trains us to live God's way. We need to live in the word of God. It's so important. Our lives depend on it. So he's shaping our faith by reaffirming us by his love. You know, the word of God, there's places that sometimes cuts. You know, Hebrews 3:12, it says, for the word of God is alive and powerful and is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. So here's saying that it cuts. So a cut, even if it's a paper cut, it hurts. You know, there's stuff in the Bible that we read, and it hurts because it deals with stuff that we need to change. But it's love, it's God's love reaffirming us. You know, Hebrews, just to close, I want to finish reading there in Hebrews 12, chapter 5. It says, "And have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as his children? He said, 'My child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline, and don't give up when he corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes all.'" That word punishes, probably this translation, it sounds hard, you know. But he corrects us. He disciplines all those he loves, and the one he accepts as his child. As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. Who's ever heard of a child who is never disciplined by its father? If God doesn't discipline you as he does all of his children, it means that you are a illegitimate, and they are not really his children at all. Since we respected our early fathers who disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of the Father of our spirits and live forever? You know, my dad, this is very embarrassing. I thank God for my parents so much. They really disciplined me. That's why I came out so good. but my parents really, they use a stick and, you know, they will like spank me. And when I deserved it, this is embarrassing. But the last time, and I got so mad. The last time I was spanked, I was 18 years old. Because I disobeyed, and it made me so mad because I would, like, prefer for them to, you know, like, get grounded. But I'm so thankful. And honestly, with my hand in my heart, anyways, I tell you, I don't have anything against, like, I understand and I appreciate it. I thank, and I have told them how much I thank what they did to me. You know, like, discipline. Like, you know, every time, like, I was rebellious. I would, like, just answer to my mom and, like, she, like, no. Like, immediately they corrected me. And I learned so much, and I don't hold it against them at all. Like, I thank them for they correcting me. And so every time I read this, it's like, yes, I now that I grew up, and not that tall, but in age, you know, like, now that I'm a grown up, I want to do the same with when I have kids, because I know the fruit it produces. You know, I am not traumatized, and I thank them because I learn. And so when I see that God disciplines his children because he loves us, and as it says, and as I was telling you, verse 11, it says, "No discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It's painful. But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way." And I'm just witness of that. "So take a new grip with your tired hands and strengthen your weak knees. Make out a straight path for your feet so that those who are weak and lame would not fall but become strong." So when God disciplines us, he's shaping up our faith. He's reaffirming us in his love so that we can trust him. We know that he loves us, and we can just trust him. We can have faith and act in everything that we do. We can just do it by faith and produce miracles. You know, just we need to be producing by faith. And that's what I had today. Yeah. Let's follow those great examples of faith.
Well, I get to grade that. I'm going to call it A+. Thank you, Denise. Amen. I would love to hear that all again in Spanish next time. So work on that. Amen. Wasn't that good?
Yeah, good.
I needed that. I even wrote down some new thoughts I've never had before from Hebrews 11. That's such a rich chapter, so rich. I just got some new notes and exciting things to think about. Amen. You want to sing? Anybody want to sing? Sam, you want to sing? No? Anybody? No? Sabrina, you want to sing? No? Well, if nobody wants to sing, let's thank Jesus for being so good to us. Lord, we thank you for this lovely teaching that we heard tonight. We thank you, Lord, that your word is so rich and full. And it is by embracing your word, we find freedom and liberty, peace in our hearts. We just pray, Lord, that you would help every part of us, just every part of our person, to embrace your word, fall in love with your word all over again. Lord, thank you. And Lord, as we finish out this week, the next few days, we just pray, help us to do our job. Help us to do what you've called us to do and to find fulfillment in our callings. And you know, Lord, earlier in the service, I was praying and asking you to bring people to church. Lord, bring them in. Bring them in. And it's like I could hear you praying, saying, you want us to bring them in. Lord, you're just so awesome. And we can pray all day that you'll do something, but you've made a decision a long time ago to use your body. And so you do want to bring in the people into the kingdom and into the church, but you want to use your body to do it. So that brings it back to us. And I just pray that we'll all be alert and aware, sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and be bold in love to invite people to come into the kingdom of God, to invite people to worship with us. Lord, thank you for the boldness that we need to bless people and to help people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You guys have a really good rest of the week, huh?